Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for listening to the Evening Edition. Now, I was never any good at science in school. Physics, biology, especially chemistry, just not my thing. But the kids these days, they've got so much more than just a big, ugly, purple Bukukimia. They've got apps. Well, actually, they've got the world's first role-playing game that also teaches you chemistry. What's more, it's by Malaysians. Uma and Ezra speak with the creators of this revolutionary educational product and find out just what digital games like ChemCaper mean for the average Malaysian student. Check out that podcast once you're done listening to this one. Just make your way over to bfm.my and search for ChemCaper.
You're listening to At The Movies with me, Umar Paganampake Pagan. Joining me today is fellow film critic Ian McNally, and we're taking a look at what happens when you mash up zombies with a 19th century costume drama. Ian, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again.
So we're talking Pride and Prejudice and zombies. It is an adaptation of a 2009 bestseller by Seth Graham Smith.
Yeah.
And the novel really was one of these things that took the publishing world by storm, because following that was the first kind of real mainstream mashup. And following that, you just had a barrage of
dangers and pirates and everything. I mean, it was followed immediately by
Sense and Sensibility
and Sea Monsters,
correct.
And then Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter,
which is also made to the screen first. Yeah, which is also by Seth Graham Smith.
Yeah.
I really like the author of this book. He's a really, really clever author. Even what he did with Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, the novel, was kind of cool. He didn't rewrite it. He used Austen's text. He even had the audacity of crediting her as a co-writer.
Yes, it's written by Jane Austen and his name, which is very clever.
Yeah, which I really liked. This movie, however, man,
it falls between many stools.
I don't know. It feels 7 years too late.
Very much so. I think the book was a craze. Like, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter came out at just the right time. And I enjoyed that movie. That was fun. In this one, it seems like it starts with one of the most boring voiceovers since Harrison Ford did Blade Runner. Like, Charles Dance sounds like he's bored to tears when he's reading about this. Like, I do love the world building. Like, the fact that the world hasn't changed that much, because instead of the aristocracy hiding in their houses from peasants, they're just hiding in their houses from zombies.
That's right.
And I like the idea of the Bennett sisters, you know, instead of sewing and cooking and other womanly skills of the time.
No, they're training to be kick-ass zombie hunters.
Yes, that is now the fashionable skills for a lady to have.
It is. And actually, speaking about that, that's the kind of big setup for this film, right?
Yeah.
It reimagines 19th century Britain as this walking graveyard. All of the Bennett sisters, all of these women are combat trained.
In the Orient.
Highly, highly skilled assassins.
Yeah.
But they still have to navigate the treacherous waters of marriage proposal.
Exactly. I mean, it's all bonnets and blades for their getting ready to go out scenes.
All the more reason why I think I should love this movie.
Yeah.
And yet,
it does feel like the actual Jane Austen scenes seem like they come from a Jane Austen movie, like they've been cut in there.
Well, so here's the thing, man. I'm convinced that somewhere in this film is a really good version of Pride and Prejudice.
Mm.
They're taking themselves very, very seriously.
I think that's the problem. Those main romantic leads, the four of them, they look like they've been taken from a middling BBC version. And when you combine that
not
with
even just the BBC version, a middling one, BBC
one that they weren't too happy about pushing out, or the budget was cut at the last minute.
Yeah,
and
they couldn't get Colin Firth again.
Yes, and like when Matt Smith turns up as Parson Collins or Lena Headey as Catherine de Bourgh, they're playing it a lot more broad and a lot more fun. And if the leads had an element of that, I mean, they have to be serious because they have to anchor the whole thing. But they're a little too dour in a way. If there's a little bit of that fun in their performance, I think it would have been a lot more funny. Because you're waiting, as you're watching it, you're saying, okay, I can tell this is the Jane Austen bit. And the next bit, you think, then there's a zombie scene breaks out. And then there's a joke. And then you're back to Jane Austen. And you kind of know what you're going to get with that section.
Yes.
Like, there is a guy called Mr. Darcy. You know what's going to happen there, even though he's a boor at first towards Lizzie. But those scenes, they don't pop as much. Like, there's one scene which is very much like the Mask of Zorro scene where the two people have an argument while having an actual physical fight.
Yes.
And that works beautifully.
Yeah, and that's been used a lot in Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
We've seen it in a lot of films, right?
But the combination of the Jane Austen dialogue with that kind of action scene, that was what I liked. And there's a moment as well where they pass by a scene of carnage and the ladies all pop their muskets up at the same time.
That's right.
Those little kind of reactions and jokes, they were too few and far between.
And I think that's the problem. The problem was that this is trying to be two separate movies. Where Seth Graham Smith kind of succeeded in his novel was the mashup.
Mm.
He did the mashup really, really well, and somehow it seemed to be believable or even fitting in this world.
Mm.
This movie could be split into two separate movies. It could be split into a English 19th century drama and a 19th century zombie flick.
Yeah, it doesn't set its stall out very well at the beginning either with the action elements of it. When the first big action scene, it's a lot of slow-mo and a lot of CGI blood that left me cold.
Correct.
The ladies are all in their finery and the pristine white gloves. If at the end of that scene they'd been covered in gore, I think the aesthetic of mashing up the fashions of the time with bloodied zombie killers would have been very good. And the actual social mores of how does one get, you know, zombie out of one's dress.
And I think the setup was there, and the setup could have worked really, really well, because that's what you want to see. You want to see this startling contrast between women in their finery suddenly taking on zombies.
Exactly.
And it would have been a wonderful start to the film, but I found it incredibly boring.
Yeah.
And now, here's the thing. I don't know if it's because over the last 7 years since the book was released, it was released in 2009, over the last 7 years where we've had so much great zombie stuff,
mm-hmm.
that this, I don't know if this movie had come out in 2010, if I would be giving it the same review, if I would be giving it this middling, Uma's kind of bored, why did I watch this movie review? Because,
well, I think so, because I didn't even think about the zombies until thinking about it a second or third time. And I was thinking, because at this point, you just expect the Walking Dead level of competency.
Well, you should
or
have.
Or Zombieland, or what other zombie TV shows there are, aren't there?
iZombie. Really good.
You can get it on a TV budget these days.
Yes.
So I didn't think they were bad. I didn't think they were, you know, there was no problem with that at all. The problem I had was just the humans were acting more dead. Like, as you said, there were times I felt bored. I felt bored, and I was like, right, this is the Austen part of it. I've only ever had to study Emma before, so I'm not a fan of the material. But if that had been spiced up a little bit more, it would have been more enjoyable. Every time Matt Smith is on screen is hilarious.
Yes.
And every time Lena Headey turns up, she's also, the two of them are
Lena
in a different.
Lena Headey and Matt Smith are the best things about this film.
They seem to be acting, they're coming straight from Carry On, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And that sounds like a great movie. I want to see that movie.
That movie needs to be made.
If the whole thing had been done with a knowing smirk, it would have been great.
And so, so that's exactly the point. You hit the nail on the head. This is the problem. The movie takes itself far too seriously.
Or half of it does.
Well, okay, half the movie does take itself. No, but that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, even if that half of the movie took itself seriously, and the book does as well in that sense, because the book uses Austen's text and then plays with it. This movie, it doesn't play enough with the 19th century Britain bit.
I have heard from another review that another reviewer saw it with Austen fans in the audience. And they were giggling at all the lines, many of the actual just straight lines, because they were just such fans of the material that it is literally ripped from the book. There's an element of being faithful, but you have to mash. I mean, mashing in the zombies is not enough. You have to mix it up more.
But then they're giggling at the Austen. And the Austen's naturally funny.
Yeah.
So you're not really laughing at what these filmmakers have done. You're laughing at Jane Austen's work. Which,
exactly.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Watch the BBC. You'll laugh at it as well. And that's the problem with Matt Smith and Lena Headey playing side characters, stealing the show for me. Lily James, who's playing Elizabeth Bennet, fresh off Cinderella, I suppose, was the last thing I saw her in.
That's who she was. I was trying to remember, because she was a blonde in that.
She was a blonde in that. And then, of course, Sam Riley playing an awful, awful Mr. Darcy. It just didn't
work. Raspy voice, you know, all hair and leather coat.
I can't say that I'm going to recommend this movie, but there's another thing that actually really wound me up about this film, and I don't think it wound you up as much, but the zombies talk.
Yes.
So the zombies talk. They can strategize.
Well, there's a plan. There is a. I think you said this isn't in the book, right?
It isn't in the book.
It's not in the Austen book. The
Well, obviously not in the Austen book. But also, they can plan coordinated military assaults.
Yes, they put in a kind of a more cinematic third act to actually have a plot point happen.
Yes.
Instead of just petering out, I believe the book peters out a little bit.
One of the best things about the book was that it actually would have brought a new generation of readers to Austen who had never previously read Austen.
Yeah.
Because he plays with existing tropes within Austen and then makes it work and makes it zombified.
This has to add a literal explosive climax to the movie.
Yes,
because it's a movie, it's not a book. I was okay with that, and in order to get that, you need to have slightly talking zombies. And it was a nice shock, because every time a talking zombie turned up and actually had something to say, their head was blown off. I did quite like that, just almost immediately.
But I'm not a zombie purist by any means, but the reason why I love the zombie stories is because they don't talk. It's because they're completely mindless creatures, and that adds a level of terror to
the
story.
They're mindless consumers, right?
Yeah, mindless consumers. It adds a level of terror that Dracula doesn't, that a werewolf doesn't. Their terror comes in numbers. We're humans.
Yeah.
We're better than them. We're smarter than them. We're sentient.
We can resist our natural urges.
Exactly. And yet they constantly overpower us. And that's the thing about The Walking Dead that's always... That keeps me watching.
Yeah. I did like that wrinkle because it was a wrinkle. It wasn't... I was originally expecting literally Sense and Sensibility... Pride and Prejudice. Get those books confused all the time. Pride and Prejudice with infrequent zombie attacks. I wasn't expecting a mythos.
Fair enough.
I did like that they added something more there. As I said, if they'd added more to the Austen, again, it'd be sacrilege adding more to the Austen. But if they play with it a little bit more, it would have been fun.
You going to recommend this film, Ian?
It's a piece of entertaining fluff. I wouldn't say make time in your day to go see it, but you know, there were long periods where I was waiting for the next thing to happen. But there are nice certain conversations that maybe take place in the books over a cup of tea, take place in a training room, which I quite like. But yeah, there just wasn't enough gags per moment to keep me going.
Yeah, I'm gonna recommend people go watch Deadpool again.
Yeah, I think that has spoiled me actually. The Deadpool, the laugh rate of Deadpool is actually it's spoiled me now for an awful lot of comedies because I'm not laughing as much. I feel like it's failed miserably.
Exactly. Why isn't there a gag a minute? What's going on? But also, yeah, I didn't find it entertaining. I think that's why I failed to recommend it. I like awful movies. Trust me, I'm the first one to go and watch the awful movie over and over again as long as it's entertaining. This one, I was left cold and kind of bored by the end of it, and I think that was the problem. So if you do go out and watch Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, if you're an Austen fan, if you're a zombie fan, let us know what you think. Tweet us on @TheMoviesMY, chat to us on Facebook, log on to bfm.my/movies for more episodes of this fine program. You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.